looking externally, what you're seeing conforms roughly to what you expect to see. Very familiar shapes, distance, size. When you look internally, you can let go of those expectations. Still seeing the same way, the result is a little different. It's a little bit like seeing with your intuition rather than seeing with your expectations or preconceptions. In the 19th century, Impressionist painters discovered that they could produce images that you could see with more than just the forms that you're familiar with, but which could also touch your emotions and your intellect too, in different ways. Ways that are familiar to you, but not necessarily associated with your looking at these things. And then Picasso came along and discovered he could create things that you could see, which are like in another dimension. Looking inside, you're seeing forms that are not usual familiar forms. They're a little bit more fluid. And you can combine your intention to see beyond what you're seeing. Expand that perception. When we're healing with Sadhana Rasayan, we're using our entire perceptive field, our intellect, and everything that's part of what we perceive. Using the visual field is just one vantage point that you can use in healing. So doing this meditation can be instructive to begin to learn how to use it, use the visual field, to see something new, to combine it with everything else in your field, your entire field, and use it for healing. When you look at something in this way, in a healing space, simply just looking there can change it. If you combine that with your intention, it can change it more powerfully or decisively. Okay, so why don't you organize yourselves and we'll do some healing exercises. First of all, does anyone have any questions about anything?
So this was to develop our intuition.
Yeah, it uses our intuition. It develops it.
And the teeth are like this, because you made a difference when I just relaxed a little bit and I just went to the usual, was my mind started to...
Yeah, this locks the mind and the... I think you could say also like the optic nerve as well, into a particular configuration.
I was able to stay more in the satanam. At the moment I went like, yeah, relax, it kind of changed.
Yeah.
So if you work on somebody, would you stay with your teeth like this also?
Well, you can try it, see how that works for you. It's a device, kind of like a mantra or like a mudra, that's sets up a little environment in the mind.
Because, you know. Okay, so now, you want me to lay down? Okay.
So what you just expressed doesn't seem that different from maybe why you wear a turban.
Oh, okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Where wearing a turban helps you to contain your awareness in a specific way that you intend to contain your awareness and not be swept away by everything that is seemingly chaotic and random.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I have a question, and it was your very first direction from the meditation. I can't exactly remember how you phrased the. Do you happen to remember? It was put your awareness here and there, and that was just what I was curious.
Oh, you mean when I started talking later?
Yeah.
As your perception begins to expand, and that's what happens when you do this meditation, you can begin to choose where you put your attention. And then you can combine your choosing where your attention is with that visual feel that you've been recognizing. Or that you recognize.
And when you say visual field, does that mean necessarily eyes open or closed?
No, it could. The eyes were closed in this meditation.
Right.
But that doesn't rule out your ability to keep your eyes open and do the same thing.
Right.
As I mentioned, we often are satisfied looking at something with the usual forms, and they confirm what we expect to see. But if you close your eyes, you can see it completely differently. It's not so fixed according to your expectations. I expect to see people sitting around on a floor in a rectangular room, and that's what I see, if that's what I'm expecting to see. And the actual physical seeing those things visually confirms it and reinforces it. But closing your eyes, and if you're able to close your eyes and direct your attention in some place, it doesn't shut off your visual field. It doesn't shut off your visual perception. You can begin to notice what is your visual perception at its most basic level and form. And then if you can look at it or appreciate it in that way, you can begin to interact in it with it. And when you look someplace, something changes, because you'll have a new experience of that. I was just hearing pretty recently this scientific theory that people are all kind of really interested in, about, oh, what was it called? It's beyond anything I'd ever heard before. It has something to do with, like, symmetry, or something to do with, well, the notion that something happening in one place can be observed exactly the same way happening in another place, without there seeming to be any interaction between those two events. And so the physicists who are, and mathematicians who are looking at these things through their own math and their own forms, are speculating how that could be and trying to explain why you're able to observe that kind of phenomenon in some way. And mostly they're observing it mathematically, but with some maybe backup in observation. But one of the theories that they put on top of that is that it's because none of this happens until you do look at it. And when you look at it, these two things can be, it's like they interact intimately without any space in between, without any time in between, but maybe only because you looked at them. It's like something didn't exist until you looked at it.
But isn't that like the observer in quantum physics?
Yeah, the observer in quantum physics, as it was described 100 years ago by Einstein, had constraints. And the constraints were, the main constraint was that light had to hit your eyes, and it could only travel at the speed of light, no faster, no slower. And that was the main constraint. And with that constraint, Einstein was able to develop all these formulas of, about what would happen if these different conditions existed. Mostly things like speed. Where if you're traveling relative to something else, the speed has an effect on your perception, because, mainly because, light travels at a constant speed. But also he included, more generally, because he called it, as he called it, general relativity, he included gravity. And gravity has similar types of effects on what you can observe. Did anybody see the movie Interstellar? That exactly tried to illustrate that.
I have to
or if you were in a presence of an extreme gravitational field, time slows down, like almost to nothing. And they characterize that by these people landing on some planet that was really near a black hole. And they were only there for a few hours. But the person left in orbit away from that gravitational field perceived that to be 26 years. And he had to wait for them 26 years to come back to the mothership. And they were only there a few hours.
Oh my God.
Well, that was no accident that they did it that way, because that is consistent with the thought, you know, about those things. And actually, the person who consulted on that is an astrophysicist, and who made a really significant contribution in the last few years to prove Einstein's general theory of relativity and gravitation. His name is I'll think of it. But anyway, those are interesting things. But what we're dealing with here, the main point here of this is that we can observe things in new ways and not be prejudiced about what we're seeing. And in some ways, that opens us up to more awareness and bigger awareness that includes more. And a lot of the constraints that we put on everything start to fall away and disappear. And that's, when I think about this, that I see that as one of the reasons that Sodom Rassayan works, because we're not constrained by time and space. And the way that our mind normally functions. We're able to place our mind in some aspect of our awareness that's independent of everything. And when all of these constraints fall away, you're in what we used to call the sacred space, or in shunya, where what is interacting here is pure intention. Okay, then, let's get started. The guy's name is Kip Thorne. That's his name.
Yeah.
I actually attended a lecture of his a couple of years ago, and I recorded it. It's on my website if you want to just listen to it. Yeah, he's an astrophysicist. Not Hawking's, but he was a colleague of Hawking's.
Yeah.
Do you need this for the event?
What happens next?
Oh,
it's our first time.
Okay. Well, then you know what? You should probably get together with somebody who's done this before.
Oh.
And it's not that you,
a little moist.
You know, it's that you will have a different experience.
Okay.
You'll have a different experience.
My ship thing is so huge.
Yeah.
So you might have guessed that what we're doing here is we're just letting things happen.
Yes.
We don't push anything. We don't pull anything.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Sure, lead the way.
You don't have
to. No, this is my first.
Oh, okay.
Sure. Well, you appear to be an old yogi. What appeared to me to be like a bowing bound lotus you were doing.
Yeah.
Is that what you're doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this should be very, what shall I say, familiar to you in some unknown way.
I like the unknown. Let's go there.
Thank you.
And you just relax.
So what are your names? You knew two new people.
Heidi.
Heidi.
And Gavin.
And Gavin. Okay. Welcome.
Wow, Gavin does Boundless Lotus. How do you call it?
Bowing Bound Lotus.
Bound Lotus.
That's what I've heard it called.
Yeah, I do it the opposite way.
Okay, so open the space. Be aware of all of your sensations. And always keep giving your attention to the emptiest place in your awareness. That doesn't resist expansion. And doesn't resist observing beyond what you're observing. Always including more in your awareness. Emptiness allows us to do that. Sit in that space where nothing in particular is distracting you. Begin to notice in that space that you can direct your attention as you please to whatever perception is attractive or interesting. Or dominant. Just visit the various features of your awareness, your perception, with your attention. And you can move your attention using your intention. With your intention, choose to include your partner as part of your perception, however that might manifest. perceptive field with that intention. Give it some attention. See if you can examine your space such that you can see beyond where your current attention lies and see beyond that and what lies beyond that, if anything, even if only it's empty. And recognize that wherever you place your attention, you're placing your attention in some way in relation with your partner. Perceptions are there because your partner is affecting that perception. And see if you can keep looking beyond any preconceptions, looking beyond more into the unknown. Everything that you see in your field reflects your partner. And as you gaze, see how that affects it. Part of this healing exercise, we can use our intention to, in some way, expand our partner's visual field, visual perception, to include more. And be bigger. Allow your experience to depend less and less on what you think. And more on the reality of your experience. Beyond any limitations. Just explore sitting in that space of no limitations. No dependencies. How it frees up the physicality of your experience as well as the mind. sit in that one point, in that singularity. Where everything exists. Okay, come to conclusion and switch with your partner. Okay. Now, your partner will heal you. So when I speak to you, I'm speaking to the healers. Patient has no responsibility other than to show up for the healing, and you've already done that. So just close your eyes, take your partner, you can touch your partner in a comfortable way so that everybody is comfortable. And just begin to become aware of all of your sensations. Become aware of all of your sensations, which includes everything physical, mental, emotional, every which way, every dimension of your perception. Just let it happen. Perception to extend beyond any frame that you might impose on it. Any frame of familiarity or tradition or history. Allow your experience to flow beyond all boundaries. Don't do anything. Just observe. discover how you can choose where to place your attention inside you, in your perceptive field. And then exercise that choice. Place your attention wherever your attention is attracted or seems interesting. Release all the constraints of your expectations. And just experience what is. Experience your perception beyond thought. Beyond the linearity of your directing it. Just float in it. Let it take you rather than directing it. See how your object of attention begins to form. And choose to allow your partner to affect your perception. What you're feeling, what you're observing, what you're seeing. See if you can recognize how perceiving your partner's space and its features begin to change them. look beyond what is familiar and extend into the unknown. Give up all preconception and expectation. Everything that you preconceive is just a fantasy. Recognize the empty space within you. Expand that. Just with intention. In this way, impacting your partner. Okay, come to conclusion.
Thank you.
I think it might be.
Yes.
If you recognize it, then it's yours.
I just realized. Okay.
Yeah. Glad I brought it.
It's mine.
It's yours.
If Sachi wants it for somebody, no problem.
I don't think there's an issue. So, I mean, you could see these things any which way. But everything that you do any which way is putting something on top of the raw experience and the reality of it. If you like to, you could look at the conditions that hold your partner in whatever limitations they have, or illness or sickness or trauma or anything. It's kind of like seeing the lumps. The lumps of consciousness that hold things how they are. And we can let them dissipate just in emptiness. Nothing pushes back against its release. It's like releasing into empty space. There's no echoes in empty space. So So, does anybody have questions? Not about your experience, but about anything I might say. I know. It's too hard to formulate anything. But I would caution you, be careful out there. It gets real when you're out driving. You have to get your act together. Stay safe. One thing I would just say to remember is everything is included in your experience. So we don't need to be prejudiced against anything that happens, because it's all part of the reality of your existence. And anything that is part of that reality, if you relate with it in a proper way, which is empty, then you're healing something. You're healing a situation. You're healing a relation. And only because you perceive it, it forms this relation. Somebody gets mad at you on the road, it's because you perceive that, that you are able to heal that situation, that you have that relation. Maybe you didn't choose it. Maybe the other person didn't choose it. It was just a matter of circumstance. Somebody cut somebody off. How you respond to that is everything. You can be reactive, where there are echoes of it and nothing is accomplished. Or you can let it dissipate and get and empty it.
So that stands for any triggers.
Yeah, yeah.
Like somebody you notice, they may trigger you, but it has nothing to do with you.
No. Very often when something sets us off, that is because we hold on to something that sets us off.
And if you're aware, then you can just allow it and empty it, and you can heal it.
Yeah, exactly. Anything that you let happen, include, and don't react to, gets healed. It is exactly the process of allowing that, that is the process of healing.
And if you feel the urge?
Contemplate it.
Okay.
Maybe you know what that means by now.
Yes. I just wanted to clarify.
If you contemplate anything long enough, it disappears. What is that lump? And if you contemplate that lump pretty soon, there's nothing there. We did that exercise a few weeks ago. I don't know if any of you were here. Before you act, contemplate. And then your perception of whatever it is that's happening will change. And you'll find more the direct path to the center of what's happening, to the point of origin of something that's happening. And let that just explode, or whatever happens.
That's why even with patients with psychic illnesses, you don't go back, you're just allowing. And when they just, it dissipates their angst, mm-hmm. whatever the angst was.
Guru Tej has a long experience with mental health.
I'm a mental health
being a nurse in a mental hospital. It's special. So special. Yeah. And there's really almost nothing that can treat it, I think, the situation there, like she can, with Satnam Rasayan, with this awareness of how you're relating. And that's everything. How you're relating is everything. You can't tell anybody anything. What's the point?
Yeah. That was the most obvious.
Okay.
See how
I don't mean
works.
To be too obvious.
I mean, I just went from
it's
the
basic.
Class. I went
yeah.
to work.
Yeah.
And everybody's psychiatric unit just calms down in my supervisor.
Just her presence. Mm-hmm. Everybody goes, oh, man, she's back.
No, right. You just see their behavior.
Yeah.
And then once in a while, one will go. Something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. It's so cute.
I get it. Okay. Well, maybe we've done enough. We just kind of ran out of time. So we'll do it again. We'll hold another class next Monday evening.
Yes. It's
on my schedule on my website.
Yes, it's on your website.
Which is just harinam.com if you want to go look at it. And the meditations that we do are all there. This was called Drip Drishti Lokina Karma meditation. I don't know whether it has a number or not, but if you just search on that at my website, you'll find it. It's a good thing to do around the full moon because there's just some kind of special relationship of things. It's the psychic geometry, sacred geometry.
Makes a big difference.
Teeth. Yeah. And if you ever encounter something and you have questions about it, just message me and I'll see if I can explain it. Okay, let's finish. Three long sentences. So. So.